I taught constitutional law for 10 years. I take the Constitution very seriously. I believe in the Constitution, and I will obey the Constitution of the United States. We're not going to use signing statements as a way of doing an end run around Congress. I know some here wish that I could just bypass Congress and change the law myself. But that's not how democracy works. Believe me, the idea of doing things on my own is very tempting. Together.
Radio.
Underground. We have audio, no video.
Radio Free Vida.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Voice of the American Readout. This is episode 1617, and this is Radio Free Readout, the voice of resistance against everything that would set itself against our heritage, our values, and, well, everything that is Americanism. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you had a blessed week. Hope you were able to tune in yesterday. We had a great guest there talking about a new disaster, a Liberty Disaster Response Services, that are a group of citizens made up of patriot groups who are forming a disaster response organization, kind of like the civilian version of FEMA, only it's probably going to be a lot more efficient and fiscally responsible and all kinds of other good things. It's got to be good. If it's not run by the federal government, it's got to be an improvement. All right. Now, I want to finish up this Going Underground series, and I think I'm going to kind of make that official tonight. Segments 3 and 4, I want to talk about some things, but I'm going to put all of this together because I've had so many people ask, and I still have notes and outlines that I need to do. And then over the next month, what I really need to do is take all of those shows and extract the information in logical manner and put those into PowerPoint-type presentations or videos, starting with last summer's The Coming Underground 7-part series, the most recent Going Underground series, and then also a while back, I did one on agents provocateur, and informants, how to recognize them, how to identify them, what to do when you discover that you have them. And there will also be some supplemental information. I think what I might do, if I have time, and I think I will, is to put together a summary episode next weekend to summarize Going Underground and just bullet point hit all key components in a real organized, logical fashion, and that will also be used, you know, for printouts and things like that that can accompany this presentation, this topic, the series that we've been doing. So let's get into the news and commentary and get that knocked out. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, where you can go to 299days.com to learn more about the 10-book series about the coming collapse and the rebuilding, also out on audiobooks. First of all, I'm having deja vu. In international news, Obama says he doesn't take North Korea seriously on their offer to halt nuclear tests if the U.S. stops military exercises with the South. When was the last time we heard Obama say that he doesn't take a threat seriously or take an enemy seriously? Wasn't that ISIS? Yeah, he doesn't have a good track record with properly assessing the capabilities of madmen who are bent on our destruction. Oh, this is a good one. We haven't done this in a while. We have a propaganda alert. This is from NBCNews.com, and they ran a piece of tripe titled Constitutional Sheriffs, the cops who think the government is our greatest threat. So remember, the process, marginalization, then demonization, right? Okay, then it'll be criminalization and incarceration, extermination. So let's look at these first two. Constitutional sheriffs are banding together, this is my words, standing against unlawful, in other words, unconstitutional acts. And this is a problem for the left. They just hate this thing called the Constitution. But it doesn't matter if the Constitution's there, if everyone just ignores it, right? But when someone stands up, well, that's a problem. When they say you can't do that, that's unlawful, that's unconstitutional. Well, then we've got troublemakers, and we call them constitutionalists. And what's worse is if they're wearing a badge and they took an oath to defend that Constitution. Well, now we've got another problem, constitutional sheriffs. So it begins. Now, the marginalization and breaching into the demonization of these guys. First, they're going to marginalize them. They're wackos. They're loopy. They're out of it. They're out of touch. They have this twisted, warped interpretation of their duties and the Constitution. Well, soon we're going to see that progress into demonization. And that's where these guys are not just misinformed, misled. They are actually evil. They have an evil plan. That's coming, okay? Well, take a look at this. You guys remember Sheriff Nick Finch. I've talked about him several times. That was the sheriff. Well, let me just read this. Sheriff Nick Finch let a pistol-packing man out of the Liberty County, Florida jail. Actually, he was not packing a pistol when they let him out of the jail. But it was a decision that led state authorities to charge Finch with a crime, but also made him a hero to a radical and growing movement among sheriffs across the country. It's a movement that doesn't just reject gun control. It encourages law enforcement officers to defy laws they decide are illegal. Okay, there's tons of problems with this logic. All right. First of all, it's very clear this is not objective reporting, NBC News. This is straight up propaganda. It's a movement. And of course, they don't want it to become a movement. Or even if it's just a couple of guys, it's a movement, right? There's like something afoot here. But this is a movement. Sheriffs are awakening, but they're not shedding a very positive light on this movement. It encourages law enforcement officers to defy laws. Now, first of all, this movement is encouraging law enforcement to defy laws. It's not possible that law enforcement have actually their own mental capacity to look at a law and say, wait a minute, that's in violation of the Constitution that I took an oath to defend and uphold and protect. No, no, no. You couldn't have come up with that thought on your own. It must be the movement that encouraged you to think that way. See, because they're setting the argument up to attack the movement. And of course, the law enforcement officers are just hapless victims of this movement. It's encouraging them to defy laws. But wait a minute. Defy laws which are in conflict with the Constitution, which, according to the 16th American jurisprudence and multiple founding fathers and judicial Supreme Court justices in the past, have said, if a law is in conflict with the Constitution, it is no law at all. But that's not what they're saying here. They can pass any law they want, even if it's in violation of the higher law, the Constitution. Well, they defy an unconstitutional law, which isn't even a law if it's unconstitutional, that they decide are illegal. Oh, so what they've done is they've taken it upon themselves to decide what's legal and what's not legal. Because After all, that's not a law enforcement officer's job. His job is to enforce the law. It's the court's duty to decide whether a law is legal or not, right? But that's not true at all. The executive branch, or the sheriff, is part of the branch of government who's duty-bound to follow the Constitution. It doesn't matter if one of the other branches decides that something does violate the Constitution but is legal. You guys get the point. I'll continue. And it sometimes puts police on the same side as, demonization coming up, sovereign citizens, a fringe group that the FBI considers one of the most serious domestic terrorism threats. Of course they do. I mean, more than ISIS. So now, this idea that you can decide if a law is unconstitutional, this movement has encouraged you, law enforcement officers, to decide that something is unconstitutional, which puts you on the same side as one of the most serious domestic terrorism threats in America. They're merging the two together. This is where the marginalization is starting to merge with the demonization, because you guys are going to be synonymous with the most serious domestic terrorism threats that America faces. If you take it upon yourself to decide what is lawful and unlawful, you're in fact taking that law into your own hands, because the courts are supposed to decide that, not you, which is false. Every single person in the government should know the Constitution so they know whether or not they are violating it or if they are upholding it. Sheriff Mack, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is brought into the conversation. On occasion, however, this group's sheriffs have found themselves expressing views that resemble those of the Sovereign Citizens Movement, which was also founded on claimed rights of legal defiance. So anyone who claims the right, the legal right to defy unlawful laws is, well, you're synonymous with a domestic homeland terror threat. Dozens of sheriffs around the country, including John Hanlon, the sheriff of Douglas County, Oregon, the site of last October's mass shooting of 8 students and a professor at Umpqua Community College, joined Mack, Sheriff Mack, in an aggressive letter-writing campaign to the White House. So they're taking aggressive action against the president. After the 2012 Sandy Hook shooting, in which they vowed not to enforce any federal laws that tighten gun restrictions. So now these sheriffs hate children. These guys are all, you guys can go and we'll put this in the highlights and resources posting of today's show. You can read it for yourself, but it is just classic, classic propaganda. Let's go over to Tennessee. We got a conservativenewstribune.com article here. Tennessee Assembly declares war on Obama and refugees. Wow. The Assembly declares war on Obama and refugees. A lot of hate here coming from the conservative right wing in America, right? The Tennessee General Assembly declared on Tuesday that it will sue the federal government. Oh, no, suing them. That's not war. But anyway, it's their headline. Over Obama's program on 10th Amendment grounds, the state Senate passed the resolution in a 29-4 vote just one day after the resolution passed the Tennessee House by a huge vote margin. Today, we struck a blow for liberty in finally adopting SJR 467, said Senator Mark Norris. Good job. You guys in Tennessee, you need to write every one of those elected officials who voted for this and tell them they've got your vote and everyone you know. Norris, who co-sponsored the resolution, said the assembly clearly understood the importance of public safety and state sovereignty. About time. The Syrian surge heightens our sense of urgency to get this properly before the courts, and we urge the Attorney General to act without delay. Tennessee withdrew from the Obama's resettlement program in 2008 and will become the first state to sue the federal government over its continued operation of the program within the state's boundaries. Of course, a little too late. I mean, you've already got the fox in the hen house. Now you're trying to pass a law banning foxes. But they're doing it. I guess people don't realize what a threat it is until it's on their doorstep and then they scramble to do something. So this guy Norris, there's no doubt he wanted to do something long ago, but you can't get the backing and support. You can't get people to believe this is truly a threat until it happens. Now they're all on board. Now they're voting in favor of it. Too bad we couldn't implant foresight, a proactive kind of a mindset in these people, so we're not reactionary. The adversary of America is very proactive. We're reactionary. That's got to change. Somebody sent me something interesting from the newsroom. A tsunami buoy, you know, the buoys that are out in the ocean. A tsunami buoy went into event mode off of New Jersey. Sudden 180-foot water depth change. That's something strange. According to the U.S. government's National Data Buoy Center, some type of event in the ocean off the New Jersey coast triggered a tsunami buoy. The buoy recorded sudden changes in water level, and then it cuts off. I'm going to have to go check that out. Did a submarine snag the cable and like drag it under 180 feet under the water real quickly? This is really interesting. Another interesting thing, in light of North Korea's launching their missile from their submarine, the Earth's magnetosphere collapsed in space today for 2+ hours. They've got the article, the breakdown here. This morning at 01:37. Eastern U.S. time, which is, they got it converted. Satellites from NASA Space Weather Prediction Center detected a complete collapse of Earth's magnetosphere. It simply vanished for just over 2 hours, resuming as normal around 09:30 Eastern time. And they've got the NASA pictures of it here. We'll have to dig that up because I just copied and pasted the images that he sent me. They were screenshots. So we'll try to find those at the newsroom. Polly01, if you could try to pull those up. All I have is a screenshot. All right, let's go ahead and turn this over to Fox 519 and the Eye in the Economy. And then we come back. I want to talk about one of our patriots that was arrested for having a firearm legally, but they changed the law, pulled the carpet right out from underneath him, and upheld his so-called conviction of an infraction. But it just goes to show how they're changing the rules in the middle of the game. More of that and plenty more when we come back. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Stay right there.
Hello, everyone. Well, last night I finally got around to watching the movie The Big Short. And boy, was it telling about where we came from back in 2008 and now where we're going again. It was like experiencing a time machine, because I lived those very days and I knew and actually talked to somebody from that era. Well, this week in history, China fired their first official channel shot at the US dollar, and boy, was it a bold one. Stay tuned, everyone. This is Fox 519 bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. You know those mornings when you could barely move until you've had that first cup of coffee? Oh, I sure do. But you know what the worst is? Terrible, stale coffee. I hate stale coffee. That stuff in the can is the absolute worst. Now, part of our food storage, but imagine if you could change that. Imagine if every morning you get up and have fresh roasted beans. How wonderful that would be. You know what? You can do that. And you can do that by going to my sponsor's website, sisterscoffeeroasters.com. They provide great, and I mean great, coffee. Their green, unroasted, or roasted beans are perfect for your food storage needs. I do not want to imagine a future where I have to wake up every day and trudge through life with bad coffee. It may seem like a small thing in the grand scheme, but it'll be the little things that will help us put on our boots every day and get out there for our families. Go buy your coffee today and get it into your food storage right away. That's sisterscoffeeroasters.com. Two sisters and an amazing coffee. Sisterscoffeeroasters.com. Well, welcome back. Hey, folks, again, thank you to our sponsor, sisterscoffeeroasters.com. Guys, get out there and support Patreon-owned businesses. We have to support our own or we're never going to be successful. One more time, everyone, write this down, sisterscoffeeroasters.com. Back up the podcast if you need to. Take a moment, write that down. Get out there and support Carrie. She is awesome. All right, on to the news. This week, a absolutely historic event took place in China. Well, it happens to be they are, in fact, the world's top gold consumer. Well, what happened? They launched a yuan-denominated gold benchmark. Yes, I'll say that again. They launched a yuan-denominated gold benchmark. Now, when the news hit the press, even news agency Reuters dubbed the move an ambitious step to exert more control over the pricing of the metal and boost its influence in the global bullion market. Well, why is that important? Well, considering the now official confirmed rigging of gold and silver fix courtesy of Deutsche Bank, this is hardly bad news, but it may finally lead to some rigging. Some of the folks who are the rigging cartels or the rigger banks, they actually maybe price gold freely and easily, and maybe may actually have a real market on our hands. Or it may not, because China would enjoy nothing more than continuing to accumulate tons and tons and tons of gold at lower prices while getting ready to slaughter the dollar. Now, what was the first benchmark price? Well, it was derived from the 1 kilogram contract traded by 18 participants in the current Shanghai Gold Exchange. It was set at $1,234.50 an ounce, pretty average for the market on that day. Now, China's gold benchmark is the accumulation of efforts by China over the last few years to reform its domestic gold market in a bid to, say, have a bigger pull in the bullion industry. Now, that industry had long been denominated by London, and that was the London Metal Exchange. Now, the mechanics of the fit that Shanghai is basically, here's what they've done. They're going to be setting the bullion price twice a day. So you're going to have to watch that probably in the early morning and probably about midday if you're buying gold. Silver, you can kind of monitor it throughout the day. It will go up and down. The London benchmark, however, is quoted in dollars per ounce, and it is set twice a day on an auction, electric platform, and it only has 12 participants, and that's 12 major banks, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, some of the other ones. Now, this is how China came out and discussed this. The World Gold Council CEO Aram and Shishmanian, I think that's how it's pronounced. I don't know. Don't email me and ask me. This is what he said. This is a stepping stone to a new multi-axis trading market consisting of London, New York, Shanghai. It signals the continuing shift in demand from west to the east. Folks, this is what his code words are. The dollar is a dying vehicle, and we need to have another means for moving funds through the world economy. Everyone, this is what I've talked about. This is it, folks. This is what I've talked about for so long with China taking these bold steps to come in and kill the dollar. It's going to take one more major announcement to say they're off the dollar and they're backing the yuan with gold. And you will watch the floodgates of the world open up. Just to compare that to what I saw in the movie last night, it took 24 hours for Bear Stearns to collapse. That's it. 24 hours. And people all across the globe lost their jobs. Imagine the moment China says the dollar is gone. It'll make that event in 2008 look like a pothole in the road of history. I've talked about China's sales of their debt exposure. The Yuan Alliance is all over the planet. The dollar's days, folks, are very limited. Folks, I'm coming to you with an impassioned plea tonight. If you don't get what's going on, if you really truly don't get what's going on, you've got to understand where we're going. Ladies and gentlemen, if Ted Cruz does not get the nomination for the White House, we will go to a contested convention where they'll potentially put up anything. And then you will have Donald Trump come in, and he will act as the Teddy Roosevelt of our generation, and he will split the vote between himself and that whatever nominee is, giving us Hillary. Not Bernie, Hillary. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be screwed. And within a matter of months, this country will be tearing itself in two. And Lord hope, I hope not shooting each other. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to be absolutely stepping up your preps now. This is the season of sacrifice. This is where, this is the sixth year in Joseph's dream where he's telling you, get the wheat into the barn. Don't be messing around anymore. All right. Y'all have a good week. Thanks again for listening and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519 signing off. God bless. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. You know those mornings when you could barely move until you've had that first cup of coffee? Oh, I sure do. But you know what the worst is? Terrible, stale coffee. I hate stale coffee. That stuff in the can is the absolute worst. Now, it's part of our food storage, but imagine if you could change that. Imagine if every morning you get up and have fresh roasted beans. How wonderful that would be. You know what? You can do that. And you can do that by going to my sponsor's website, sisterscoffeeroasters.com. They provide great, and I mean great, coffee. Their green, unroasted, or roasted beans are perfect for your food storage needs. I do not want to imagine a future where I have to wake up every day and trudge through life with bad coffee. It may seem like a small thing in the grand scheme, but it'll be the little things that will help us put on our boots every day and get out there for our families. Go buy your coffee today and get it into your food storage right away. That's sisterscoffeeroasters.com. Two sisters and an amazing coffee. sisterscoffeeroasters.com.
Thank you for that, Fox 519. We are in segment two now, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate.com. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com to help you get situated to the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho if you're strategically relocating to the American Redoubt. Great patriot-owned business. This Thursday, I was in Prosser, Washington, and once again had another epiphany moment. I got to hear Chris Ann Hall speak about the state sovereignty. Her presentation is so it several dots connected for me. Several light bulbs came on. It was just awesome. Awesome to hear. And we want, if you guys get a chance to listen to that, but it's also in her book. What's her, this one here I'm reading right now, Sovereign Duty. A lot of what she talked about is in this book, talking about, well, she really exposed a lot of things that we talked about with states' rights and the supremacy clause, completely shredded it, she did, to the arguments that they use to try to persuade us that any law that the federal government passes has superiority over the states. Like, we belong, like, states are territories of the federal government. Like, we're provinces or something. And we're not. We're independent federal republics, which I know and I've always known. I know you guys know that. But it's hard to argue against the supremacy clause when they throw that up there. But it's, you find out how we've been lied to. And she just, I guess for me, it just really broke it down and she articulated it so well that it just made all the parts click for me. And so that was pretty cool. That was always a treat. And it was always great to see the folks over there in Central Washington. Okay, let's talk about the situation. If you guys remember, Anthony Bosworth, a patriot, grassroots leader in Liberty for All, LFA, Liberty for All, Washington. There was a 10th Amendment Center protest issue going on with the state sovereignty issue. Well, all these different patriot groups gathered in support of this 10th Amendment Center issue going on there at the federal courthouse. And of course, they always show up to these events armed to demonstrate their Second Amendment rights. Slung, we covered this last year. I interviewed Anthony Bosworth a couple times, actually. But on February 25th, he was told you have to leave the grounds because you can't have firearms here, which is not true. 18 U.S. Code, Section 930, possession of firearms and dangerous weapons in federal facilities, in federal facilities. Except as provided in subsection D, whoever knowingly possesses or causes to be present a firearm or other dangerous weapon in a federal facility. That's the conviction. The term federal facility means a building or part thereof owned like, a, you know, if they have like a little smoking section awning outside, but it's got to be, you know, part of the building itself. And they have signs posted, no firearms beyond this point. Fair enough. So they're out there in the public area in this open square type thing that's kind of merges with county property. They said, you can't be here with firearms. He says, that's not true. This is my right and it's not posted. And well, I'm telling you now. So this U.S. Marshal grabs him, cuffs him, hooks him up. They arrest him for failing to follow an order of a federal law enforcement officer. But what he was being ordered to do was not a crime, right? It'd be like somebody just come up and saying, hey, you have to put that cup of coffee down. You can't have that cup of coffee in your hand. Right? Where'd you hear that? All right, you're going to lip off, hands behind your back, right? And so then this is what happens. He was convicted, and this judge was so awesome, really. This federal judge, he saw what was going on. He told Anthony Bosworth, you've handled yourself so with dignity and professionalism and integrity. He says, I have no choice but to find you guilty here of this. But here's your charge. And it was like $200 or something like that. And he says, you pay it off when you get a chance. If you got to buy groceries, gas, something like that, you take care of your family first. So just, you know, pay what you can when you can. That was the judge's order. So, but this is what happened. Anthony, on principle, filed an appeal. And it just came back a week and a half ago, denied. The ruling was to uphold his conviction, which wasn't really a conviction. It was his guilty verdict, was to uphold it as, you know, the stance. You are guilty of failing to obey a police officer, a federal police officer. This is what's called a petty offense, by the way. It's like getting a ticket for speeding. He was not charged with possession of a firearm on federal property. But check this out. They ruled that to deny his appeal, to uphold his guilty verdict of this petty crime, petty offense. They didn't even call it a crime. It was a petty offense. But the reason why is because two things. First of all, there's an underground garage, parking garage, that extends out to the street of the city where he was standing. So they said, you were standing on top of the roof of the parking garage, which is part of the building. So since you were on the roof, that counts as being, you know, in the building. Secondly, this female judge, apparently an Obama appointee, reviewed his case before his conviction and looked at the law and changed the law. She filled out a court order ordering the Department of Homeland Security, who's in charge of the security there on the grounds, to change their policy to read not just the building or in the building, but all of the property surrounding the building that they lease. So they changed the law, and that's what they looked at, this new court order upholding his guilty verdict, because he argued that the law states that you cannot be in a building. He was not in a building. He was on the property out by the city street. So she went and changed, had a court order change their policy to read any of their property, changing the law. So they could deny his appeal on this guilty finding on this petty offense. This is so offensive. It just offends the senses that a judge will go in and change the policy, not the law, change the policy so that what he was doing is wrong and illegal. So therefore, the federal police officer who ordered him was actually giving him a lawful order, even though the law was changed after he was arrested. This is corruption. This is the kind of stuff that makes citizens lose their faith. It increases their level of anger toward their government. This is completely out of control. Who says they don't legislate from the bench? She just made something that is as enforceable as if it were law by a court order. Upholding a man, his conviction, his guilty, this is just infuriating. And they wonder why people are upset. They're only going to take so much of it. They're only going to take so much. You keep kicking a dog, he's going to turn and bite you eventually. And, well, maybe that's what people that get off on cruelty, maybe that's what they want. Then they can justify the next reaction. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Going Underground series. I want to share some things with you, some parting shots, and then we'll wrap up tonight. So stay right there. Segment three coming up.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. What is a rhino? Well, in modern political terms, it means Republican in name only. But in truth, both parties have them. They're opportunists, and they are everywhere. And now that the general election is 6 weeks away, it's good to know who's who. An opportunist is a person who is beholden to compromise and not principle, who says one thing but does another. It's a person who won't take a pledge in writing because they say it's a gimmick. It's a person who campaigns on pro-business conservatism, but behind the scenes takes thousands from the pro-gas tax lobby and labor unions, including SEIU, who championed Obamacare. It's a person who says they're out to help every man, but can only do so by raising taxes. My opponent is one of those people. Over the past 6 years in Olympia, I've done what I said I was going to do, and that's make lower taxes, less government, and more freedom a reality in Olympia. Actions speak louder than words. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Look, Matt Shea, Republican.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal. Renegade.
This is segment three of Radio Free Readout, brought to you by Katie Armor. Segment three is, they have the soft armor, they have the level 3A plates, level 4, the front, back, sides, plate carriers, they got it all. An American Readout-based company, and those prices include shipping. Don't forget to use your coupon code JohnJacob on your next purchase. Now, someone proposed a question. What would happen if somebody came to my doorstep, these Chinese agents, and said, we want to ask you some questions? And you say, I don't feel like talking to you right now. So goodbye. And you close the door. And you look out the peephole and they're walking away. Now, do you think that's just going to be the end of it? So now you have a decision to make. Do I stay here? Are they coming back with a SWAT team? Do I bug out? What do I do? Where do I go? What should I do next? Well, you probably shouldn't stay there. You should probably find a place that's secluded and remote to go to. Now, be mindful with all of the other things that we talked about, keeping in mind your with the vehicle license plate tracking stuff, the facial recognition, you want to stay away from crowds, big event venues, and things like this. Go someplace secluded. Maybe have somebody come and pick you up. Maybe walk someplace and have somebody pick you up. But you might want to be careful about how you do that as well. Remember the encrypted email we talked about? Well, you could shoot somebody a message saying, hey, I need to be picked up at such and such. But someone responded with this. If this happened, here's my advice. You should have a go bag ready to go with cash, flashlights, spare batteries, MREs, notepads, pens, handheld ham radio, your med kit, any prescription medications. Have that ready to go at all times. A couple bottles of water and just bug out, which is good. But see, these are something you should have anyway. This is not special preparation for this type of a situation where you feel like you need to go underground or at least get off the X for a little while until you can kind of assess what's going on or what their intentions are. So I wanted to make a couple of other recommendations to this person's recommendation. You know, I think in that case, I should have a go bag. Yes, but you should have a go bag all the time anyway. Or it could be an earthquake, disaster, you know, any type of disaster. You should have that kind of stuff anyway. This is a special circumstance. Okay, so this is my response. I've got five main points. First of all, a couple bottles of water, that's great. But I strongly recommend your go kits. They're cheap enough, what, $20, $30? Get a Life Straw water filter. Because when you run out of those bottles of water, you're done, right? Unless any mud puddle you come across, a little stream, any source of water, if you get a Life Straw water filter, you can, you know, drink as you go. So some type of water filter should also be a part of your kit. Now, I would make these couple of other recommendations. The go bag is fine, but you should also have a clone of it stored or cached at a trusted person's possession so that if you get away with nothing but the clothes on your back, you can quickly get resupplied. If you're able, you should have two of them, one maybe even buried, so you can get to it without having to contact anyone because you may not be able to. You might want to leave your phone at home so it appears that you're home, and then you take off and you don't contact anyone. So have one that's buried and cached where only you know where it is, but you can get to it. It's within 2 or 3 hours walking distance from you, right? And hopefully, you know, en route to your primary location where you plan on going. And the other, at least a tier three person in your circle or farther out if possible. We've talked about that tier one, tier two, tier three. Now, this would be someone with whom you have no apparent ties to or rarely contact, at least as far as your digital footprint's concerned, you know, such as by phone, email, texting, or even meeting in person where you both have your tracking devices with you, your cell phones. Should be a person that there's no digital footprint of you having a lot or if hardly any contact with. Now, you could have a trusted person in your inner circle, but you start minimizing your digital footprint with certain individuals. These would be your key support personnel. If anything ever goes down, you're going to be my main person to talk to contact because I trust you, but I don't talk to you on a day-to-day basis. But for the times that we are going to contact each other, we can leave an encrypted message on a drop, you know, a numbers relay page or something like that. Hey, let's meet for lunch. And you sanitize yourselves. No cell phones with you when you meet and things like that. This is just kind of a reinforcement of what we've already talked about in previous segments. Okay, number two, everyone should have PGP for USB downloaded on a flash drive. Keep it updated regularly. Now, I'm talking about your go bags, okay? Keep a cloned flash drive in each go bag. So if you get out the door with nothing and you couldn't grab that, you've got a loaded GPG for USB on a thumb drive that's got the GPG encryption keys for all of your contacts. That way you get to a coffee shop, you get to some internet cafe, you get your hands on a computer, you can fire off or drop on the internet on one of your blind drops. You can drop an encrypted message for those that are going to be looking for you and trying to account for you to find out if you're okay. Because you purposefully disappeared. They need to know that. Number three, everyone should have Veracrypt downloaded and installed on each thumb drive so you can quickly set it up on any computer you encounter. You get taken in at a friend's house, they say, yeah, you know, I can, I'll take you in. I need to, encrypt or open up these encrypted files. I have a letter, I have a press release, I have whatever it is, correspondence. I need to use your computer. Okay, off the internet, you can get download off that thumb drive. You can download VeraCrypt, set it up real quick, have access to your files, encrypt them, send them as attachments using your, you know, encryption and everything. Have number four, have a dedicated KingGuru Trust thumb drive. We've got a link to that on Amron.com. And why do we trust this? Why is it called trust? Because the firmware is protected and encrypted, and you cannot surreptitiously load spyware, malware onto the firmware of that, dragging spyware and other malicious software from an internet laptop over to your sanitized, clean laptop. You're not going to be dragging spyware and hidden files and stuff back and forth. Only the stuff that you intend to. That's why we recommend those. The USB is the Achilles heel in the Achilles tendon in security. This is how the Israelis and the United States intelligence community, it's suspected, was able to infiltrate the Iranians' tightly compartmentalized, isolated, and insulated nuclear research program. Because thumb drives with loaded, tainted firmware with spyware and everything else on it. So you drop that onto the insulated, sanitized computer system, and it automatically seeks out what it's after or downloads, attacks, whatever it is, drops off a virus, or it will transfer sensitive data back to another computer once that flash drive's loaded onto a different computer. In this case, it was a virus that was downloaded into their nuclear research program of the Iranians, brought in on a thumb drive, suspected through firmware, which your regular virus protection type stuff will not detect. So we recommend for that, just very sensitive stuff. Tails and Tor operating system. It's its own operating system that allows you to operate on the dark net. And using Tor, has VPNs that protects your identity, hides your IP address, and you can surf around on the internet, anonymously and privately, as long as you follow certain protocols. Number five, everyone needs to have an offshore email account. Why? Because many overseas countries have a lot stricter privacy laws than especially the United States. The United States is the worst offender for spying on, collecting, and gathering private information. So, I got an email. I'm writing to ask if you could advise on which private email providers you would recommend. I did research on StartMail, Unseen, and a few others, but could not make an easy determination of which is ideal for the usage that you covered in your programs. Your advice would be greatly appreciated. All right. Great question. Now, there are three that I recommend. And one that I recommended the most a year ago, but that's changed. Remember, this world, encryption, and these programs are ever changing. Okay, so you have to be flexible and willing to, you know, move as this industry ebbs and flows. A year ago, I recommended ProtonMail. Several technology magazines did reviews on ProtonMail. Its server is based in Switzerland. These people have very strong encryption, and it was touted as NSA safe email. It was free, and it still is, but it takes a long time to get your email. But if you pay $17, then it's immediate. They get it immediate because that pays for their expanded servers, and they keep running out of server space, so they have to buy more memories and stuff. Super solid encryption. The problem is there's no way to set up user contacts or contact lists. So you have to go through all your contacts and individually find them, which is really a lot of fun when you want to get a hold of Joe, but he uses some you know, an alias or a code name, and you got to try to remember, Joe, that was Juliet 5-8 or, you know, whatever it is. It's cumbersome. With the others, unseen.is and StartMail, you can actually set up user contact lists. So if you want to send to everybody in your such and such American County ham radio operators, you just click on American County ham radio operator contact group that you, and it automatically fills in and sends to everybody in that group. Proton Mail does not have that. The other thing that Proton Mail does not have, which is why I don't recommend them for as a first choice, the excellent encryption, excellent email service, that part works. But there are no POP3 settings, so you cannot set up your Proton Mail inside your Thunderbird. Now, they might change this in the future, but right now, as of this date, the 24th of April, 2016, these are areas that are makes this deficient for me as an operator. I want to be able to have this downloaded onto my computer, because if the server's down or the internet's down, I cannot access my emails. But if I have a POP3 setting where I can download that into Thunderbird or even your Outlook, which is Microsoft, so I recommend Thunderbird email. It's free. It's an email host, email program. You can set up unseen.is and startmail.com. StartMail is based in Germany. I think Germany is unstable and is going to continue to become increasingly politically and socially unstable, but that is a great service, startmail.com. My preferred service, since Unseen just went through a whole bunch of changes and upgrades, is unseen.is. They are based out of Iceland, and Iceland has the strongest privacy laws of any country in the world. They tell you, if we get court orders or demands or anything from anyone, we will not turn anything over unless it's from a Icelandic court. Then we will hand over, basically, they're going to get encryption and they're going to get metadata. That's it. They're not what's in it. But see, with Unseen, I can import that through the POP3 settings and import that into my Thunderbird email, and have my emails accessible to me, whether the internet's up or down. I can read all my previous emails and what I've sent, and what, which is good because there's a lot of good information there that you might want to reference. And as long as it's stored, until you open it, it remains encrypted. Now, I also recommend PGP encryption, Enigmail. Use that within Thunderbird. We've got a great tutorial at Amron.com on how to set up Thunderbird with encryption, no matter what you use. You're better off, and I would prefer, you'd be better off using Gmail. You're not going to hear me say this very often. You're better off using Gmail with PGP encryption than to use something from your private server unencrypted. You know, from your internet service provider like HughesNet or Cox.net or Bell South or, you know, whatever your internet service provider is, they also offer email accounts. I'd rather see you use Hotmail or Yahoo.com or Gmail with PGP encryption than unencrypted. Now, I prefer that you stay away from all those and you operate HughesNet, Cox, or Bell South or any of those with GPG encryption. That's just going to be even more powerful. But when you use unseen.is or StartMail, you're double encrypting because they have their own encryption. And then if you use, if you're dealing with other members, like one, from one unseen to another unseen user, it's automatically encrypted. All right. When you log in on the website, the other thing is I can access this. If I can get to the internet and I become separated from my laptop, if I can get on the internet anywhere in the world, I can log on to my Unseen account and I can shoot off an email to somebody. But I also have the ability to have it on my laptop if I wish, and it's stored encrypted until I open it when you're using GPG encryption. So hopefully that helps. That helps quite a bit. There, let's see. What else I want to say on that? There were some questions about the users of Unseen, the people who developed it. That was like from almost 2 years ago. And since then, I just know that they've done so many upgrades. Oh, and also Unseen.is has encrypted chat, encrypted forum, encrypted voice conferencing, and video as well. That's all encrypted. And we've got a link to that on Amron.com. If you go to Amron.com, you'll see the Unseen.is. They have a program going right now for $99 for life instead of $40 a year. It's $99 for life, and it gives you 5 accounts. So you just give that code to 4 of your friends, and they can also set up an Unseen.is account. And we've got that link. I set up an affiliate link, and I don't know really how that works, but that'll take you over to Unseen, for you can set up a free account and then go from there. So hopefully that answers that question. Now, I should take a break. No, I'm going to push on through. There's a few things I want to bring to your attention. First of all, there is a guerrilla support operations class. It's going on May 3rd and 4th in Central Washington. It's going to be put on by the White Rose organization. The whiterose.us is the website. We're going to post a link to that class. It's whiterose.us/event/guerrilla support operations class. And somebody said that they thought that I said Oregon. It's not Oregon. It's Washington, Washington State. So I apologize if I mentioned that was in Oregon last week. It's not. It's Washington. That'll be put on by John Mosby from Mountain Gorilla. There's another one too. Nope, that's it. Well, there's ground rod classes, but I'll talk about that when we come back in segment 4. This is the Voice of the American Readout. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment. The best part of North Idaho is her people. Friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. Revrealty.us, and may God bless you.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Segment 4, RadioFreeReadout.com is our website. My email is johnjacob@RadioFreeReadout.com. And I also have PGP encryption on that too. So if you can't find my public key on the website for sending encryption, just email me and we'll exchange keys. Now, speaking of keys and encryption and all that stuff, I want to remind you guys about the Combat Studies Group courses that are going on. Pennsylvania, several Patriots just wrapped up this weekend in Pennsylvania with the Ground Rod Primer course, talking about computer security, anonymity, encryption. Awesome. I can't say enough about it and how, I guess, other than saying it's mandatory for modern 21st century Patriots. It's just critical because this is how they're gathering their intelligence, is by the lazy human factor of cruddy passwords, the same password for everything, no encryption, no VPN. They're tracking everything you do, everybody you contact, everything going on in your life. It's you're just handing it to them on a silver platter. Well, if you are ever hurled into an environment where the Chinese invaders are hunting you down, they're going to use the technology unless we're in a grid down situation. So there are some things now, some foundational principles you need to start building on. And there's a course coming up in Georgia. And there's another course. I'll get more information on that for you guys. There's another course, Ground Rod Primer. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th. If you are in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, Saturday and Sunday, May 28th and 29th, go to the CSG, Combat Studies Group website. We'll have that linked from our website. Go there and they're going to have all the class information to include the person that is facilitating that there in Phoenix to put it together. That's who you want to contact to get lined up, signed up, and get all the information as far as the specifics, where and when and all that. And also, I want to see more and more of you are stepping up, but I'm surprised. North Carolina, Missouri, Texas, California. You got to be kidding me. Those are high concentration Patriot zones with a lot of AMRON operators, and we don't have anybody setting, I mean, Texas, California, there's what, 200 AMRON operators in each of those states. And I'm not aware of anybody trying to set those up, set up this training in your area. Get a hold of Combat Studies Group, and they'll set you up, or I will put you in touch if you want to know more about it, with other people who've set them up in their areas in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona. But yeah, I was just really surprised. It's nothing that I know of being put together from North Carolina, Missouri, Texas, California. Those are four big ones. South Carolina's quite a few. There's pockets of just high density. And he's also going to be returning to Washington State for all the Patriots in the American Redoubt. I hope you guys checked out the CBS News article that I linked. 60 Minutes Overtime did a special on how easy it is to hack your smartphone or smart devices, whether it could be a tablet, it could be a phone. It's titled, How Strangers Can Hack the Phone in Your Pocket. This is an eye-opener, mandatory watching, especially if you never thought there was a need for this stuff. Security, encryption, you need to have your eyes opened to how easy it is for some of these guys. It's nothing for them. It's trivial. Now, I've gone through this series, and many of you have come back, how you're discussing it in discussion groups, with pastor groups, with people in your community. You're going through this underground series, as like a training seminar, workshop, working through these different things and actually implementing these things. And that's been really encouraging. Somebody sent me, though, I'm going to withhold his code name, that I want to share with you, that he wanted me to pass on lessons learned. So this is a letter from somebody out there, a patriot, who has actually been practicing this stuff and putting a lot of serious thought into this. Responding to episode 1613, Going Underground Part 2 podcast, encrypted communications of the principal should be carried out through free public Wi-Fi locations using Tails. I did cover this, but he does an experiment. And the physical distance should be established so that the operator is not seen by local cameras. Today I tested that plan. I'm too old and too fat to be a fighter, but I can do research and test ideas. During peacetime, go to any public area where people congregate, like malls, large shopping centers, outlet stores, and strip malls. Pull out your smartphone and use the Wi-Fi pop-up to search for Wi-Fi connections. The pop-up will tell you which connections are nearby, the strongest signals, and also free. Write down their names and the approximate locations where you found them. You can certainly build your own Cantenna, do-it-yourself Yagi, or Windsurfer. Those are brand names. We're going to link these to you. Or you can go to Amazon and purchase an Alpha wireless long-range Wi-Fi network adapter. I'm not a handyman, so I bought the $28 Alpha with the 7 dB panel. It's the little square panel. It goes up on your dash. The war drivers rave about this long-range network adapter, and if they love it, well, then it must be good. Tails is the best of the forgetful operating systems, but it is not the only one. You can also use the latest version of Ubuntu burned onto a DVD to boot up the burner laptop that you're using for underground activities. Ubuntu has the Realtek drivers for the Alpha already built into the operating system. The Alpha is plug and play with Ubuntu and small enough to fit on your dashboard without attracting attention like a Cantenna or a Yagi might. You guys getting this? He's sharing his experience, and I'll be sharing that with you in just a minute. As a sidebar, the Yagi resembles a small machine gun mounted on a tripod. The Alpha, with the panel antenna, appears to be an ubiquitous and innocuous GPS unit on your dashboard and attracts no attention at all. Although I will say, the Cantennas, the long-looking tube, the super high-gain antennas, they do outperform the panels, the panel, little panel antennas. But the panel antennas are awesome. Okay, this is called war driving, by the way, where you, you basically hack into other other routers, wireless routers, and do, internet activity. There's more to it than that. But when the darkness falls, you leave your smartphone at home. Drive to those locations where you found the free Wi-Fi, park your car far away from the cameras, boot up your pawn shop laptop with a DVD of the latest Ubuntu build, plug in your Alpha and put it on the dashboard. Find the hotspot by name, connect it, and you're online. When you're done, turn off your computer and drive away. No cameras saw you, and the computer doesn't recall anything because the entire operating system was in RAM memory and is totally gone now, just like Tails. God bless you, sir. Now, let's fast forward. He put some of his theories to the test, and he shared his experience. So, there's a real partisan out there trying this stuff, or at least there are several, but one actually wrote his experiences down and sent them to me to share with you. Good morning, John Jacob. I've already visited one of my nearby strip malls to collect the names and signal strengths of the public Wi-Fi routers located in the various retail stores. The goal for today was to go out to that strip mall, set up a connection to one of those public Wi-Fi routers using Tor from a distance, upload and download a small file or two to a secured website, and then glance at my watch when I left to see how much time the operation required. The less time, the better. On this overcast weekend morning, about 6:30 a.m., I connected an Alpha, the 7 dB panel antenna, to an HP laptop, booted with the new live CD of Tails 2.2.1. At this hour, the only stores that were open for business were Panera and Starbucks. I tried connecting to Panera, but the router was too busy and it refused me. I tried connecting to Starbucks, but their connection was far too slow for the get-in and get-out test. I connected to a clothing store's public Wi-Fi router on the far side of the parking lot because I assumed that few or no other people had connected to it. Unfortunately, I didn't do anything with the Tails operating system for too long, and it switched to a clock screensaver that refused to let me back into the laptop. I had to restart the machine to continue my test. After clicking through the terms and conditions page on the company's website, I was finally on the net. At that point, a security truck appeared. I saw him because of his blinking yellow light. The blinkers caught my attention, otherwise I was too focused on my tasks in the truck to notice that a security vehicle was approaching. I pretended to be doing something on my smartphone and he nodded his head at me and drove away because The laptop was not visible, and the alpha panel antenna looks like a small GPS screen on my dashboard. If he had been an officer in the Chinese security forces from the movie Dragon Day, I would be in solitary confinement right now. Maybe. Finally, connected to the net. I tried to open the Tor browser, but Tails started building a Tor circuit instead. With the operating system running on DVD drive, this requires a few minutes. Yes, minutes, like 3 to 4 minutes. Once the circuit was created, I activated the Tor browser again, and the browser connected to Tor after nearly 2 minutes. I surfed through a few advertisement pages and finally arrived at the secure website. I logged into the website, but the browser software was not speedy because the operating system was running from a live CD. The file transfer was a total of 100K on a text file, and the required time was not acceptable for a get-in and get-out operation. To save time during my test, I simply turned the laptop off without properly disconnecting from the public Wi-Fi or correctly shutting down the laptop. I got the job done, but I am not happy with the time and the job required and the fact that I attracted the attention of a mall guard. The slow speed of the public Wi-Fi connections, the time required to build a Tor circuit, start the Tor browser, and connect to the Tor network, and the slow upload and download speed of the public Wi-Fi is ridiculously slow for a covert operation requiring speed and stealth. This is absolutely not a quick and speedy task. Yes, a member of the underground can do it, but no amount of practice or training is going to speed up the public Wi-Fi connection or the CD-based operating system. All underground members should be aware that they should expect to be sitting in the vicinity long enough to get noticed by shoppers, local residents, or a curious security guard. Be ready with a prop, like a smartphone or a newspaper, to appear harmless and boring. On the last tip, the live CD of Tales has a timeout limit. Okay, now I want to share a couple things with you. First of all, instead of putting it on a CD, which is slower, go with a thumb drive. I have a dedicated Kangaroo thumb drive, 8 gigabytes, which is plenty of room, to download the Tor Tales software. This is your operating system, no matter if you have Windows, if you have Mac, or whatever it is. When you plug that in, it recognizes that operating system, and you have to go into your BIOS and change the boot up order, so it will select from your thumb drive first if there's one available. It will detect Tails. It will fire up Tails, which is basically a Linux system. All right, if you operate off of a thumb drive, it is considerably faster. The other thing to do also, and also, my Tails has a clock screensaver that pops up too, but because I'm running it off of a thumb drive, it will, I just move the mouse and my screen comes back to life. So I don't have to reboot like you do if you have that problem with a live CD. And you're doing your pre-operation testing and you are trying to locate your Wi-Fis and the signal strength. There's something else you want to run too. You can do this off of a laptop somewhere, but what you want to do is run, there's a couple of resources, there's several. You can go to speedtest.net or you can go to speedtest.xfinity.com. There's two main websites that I like where you can run a internet speed test to determine not just the signal strength, but how fast it will download and upload data. That's going to be really important for you to know. So make a note of that in your notes. So in your map of your community where you've got all these public Wi-Fi spots, make a special note of the speed, the download and upload speed of those Wi-Fi spots. If time is really of the essence, and this kind of a situation, it usually will be, you want to go to where you got the fastest signal, the fastest internet speed, not just the strongest signal. You can increase the signal also with one of those CAN-tennas, those highly directional Yagi antennas. They're very small, compact, and those will do a good job for you. So hopefully that will help. Also, when you have the new Tor Tales system on a thumb drive, especially like the Kangaroo Trust protected firmware drive, the new Tales software has what's called persistence. You can choose to have settings and stuff saved on that thumb drive, encrypted. You have to put in a password, come up with a really strong password, and that will actually save a lot of your settings, like your, you know, Wi-Fi connections or things like that. So that will also speed things up. You won't have to manually put a lot of those settings in if you use the persistence feature, but you have to use a thumb drive to do that. It won't operate on a CD-ROM. So hopefully that helps a little bit. I want to share another partisan's experiences out there actually putting this stuff to the test. And for those of you out there with your testimonies on what you're doing to prepare for the underground, send them in. I'd love to hear your testimonies and sanitize it so that I can share it with other listeners and we can all benefit from it. With that, you guys have a blessed week this week. And I will talk to you next weekend on the American Christian Network on Saturday and right here, RadioFreeRedoubt.com, Sunday night at 8 p.m. for episode 1618. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.